Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read in four different places. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. That sounds kind of intriguing, maybe. And verse 15, it says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Now just come over to the book of Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. You're getting close to the end of your Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he made the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And we're not going to read the rest of the story. It's kind of interesting, but verse 17, this is after Jonah was thrown overboard at his own request. So the men in the ship tossed him over, and immediately we know what happened. The storm went away. Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then chapter 2 tells us how Jonah was vomited up. Doesn't sound very pleasant, but on to dry land. And so he was saved. Now over in Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, Luke 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And then verse 9, we don't want to leave this one out. It says, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. And verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now just back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 15. And this is the story of the prodigal son, but we're not going to focus on him so much. This is more at the end of the story. So after he came to himself, realized his sin, and realized that he was in extremely deep and had no way out, it says at verse 20 of Luke 15, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That was a lot more reading probably than I usually do. But I want to touch these four places tonight, and what I have on my mind Some might find enjoyable, some might hate it, some may never have tried it, and that's running. Now, a lot of people probably know it's something I enjoy, believe it or not. Some people think that it's foolish, but I find it very therapeutic just to go out in the country and go for a good run, no one else around, and just think. I enjoy it a lot, but that's what I want to speak about tonight. I'm not going to give you a run plan or try and persuade you that you need to start running. But what we read tonight are four places, and that's exactly what it talks about, is running. Okay, the first one in Proverbs chapter 1, the warning is given for sinners, or in this case, the son, not to run with sinners. Not to get in that situation, to get so entangled in sin. There's that warning. And then we read about Jonah, and whenever God spoke to him, immediately what Jonah did, he took off and he began to run. And then we read about Zacchaeus and how he ran. And the last one, we read about the father and he ran. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. The first one in Proverbs chapter 1, that warning is given to not run. And what I just want to label over that tonight is running after sin. Tonight, that is something you can run and run and run as hard as you want. Not physically, but you can run as hard as you want and you will never, ever get to a point where you finally feel like you're satisfied. You might for a minute, or a day or a week, maybe a month will go by. If you continue that trajectory through your life, you're going to be able to look back, and maybe some can do that now, you can look back over your life. And you think back to whenever you were 10, and what you ran after, that seemed like it satisfied. Didn't satisfy you when you were 15. You can look back maybe when you were 20, and what you thought, if you could get a hold of it, it would finally satisfy. When you were 30, what you satisfied you, you thought, anyway, at 20, that doesn't satisfy. And that is exactly what the devil wants you to believe, is that running after sin, at some point you're going to get to that place of satisfaction. Sin and running after it is never, ever going to bring you satisfaction. You are actually probably through your life going to become increasingly frustrated. And just always that empty feeling. There's a little illustration I want to give you about just how frustrating running after something that it seems like you can't catch can be. This was back, I think, last year. There was a race, it was a triathlon, and there's a Sam Laidlow is his name. You can look him up, very accomplished. So here he is, he's in a race. They were out on the run, nearing, there was still quite a bit of time left, but the last part of this race, running. He was in second. He thought he was in first. But there was someone that was ahead of him. And so he was asking the people along the course to tell him how many minutes is there between us. Now, keep in mind, he was in second, but he thought he was in first. And so when he asked them along the course, he said, how many minutes to so-and-so? They'd say, maybe 3 minutes. He thought, okay, I have a 3 minute lead. And so he'd run faster, picked up the pace, wanted to get the gap a little bit bigger. So running faster now. He got to someone else along the course, and he asked them how much of a gap now. And what they weren't telling him is that you were actually in second place, you're not in first. They were just giving him the time gap. And so he ran harder now for a number of kilometers. It was 3 minutes, and now he said, well, I must be gaining more time. And he'd ask them how much time. And they'd say, well, 2 minutes. And he became so frustrated because this continued on through the course. Every time he'd run harder, because he was in second, he was getting actually closer to the guy. He thought he was in first. Remember, he thought he was widening the gap. And every time he ran harder, the gap became smaller, and he could not figure this out for the life of him. He said, well, every time I pick the pace up, this other guy must be picking the pace up. And so when he'd slow down, what do you think happened? Well, he slowed down, and the gap got bigger. So, well, I'm running slower now. How am I gaining on the guy? Because he thought he was in first the whole time. And he became so frustrated until finally he came to a turnaround and he met the guy and he realized what was going on. But just you can imagine as he's running harder and harder and harder and the frustration just building and building and building. Whenever I saw that happen, that immediately made me think of sinners and they're running. And they're running after sin harder and harder and harder. And just becoming more and more frustrated. And that's the place that sin will lead you. Do you know what a scary thing is tonight? When you look at this chart, the Broadway, and you see these people hiking. We went on a little bit of a hike yesterday and down in Bonshaw, and hiking is not fast. You're moving along kind of slow, plodding along. I would like to see people actually running here. Little figures, and they're in the running stance. Do you know why? Because that's really what's going on the Broadway. Sinners, men and women and boys and girls, are running. Running all over the place. Running for satisfaction. Constantly on the move. Moving a lot faster than you think you are. Just take a look at the chart behind me. Take a good study of it. Okay, if you're in that position, if you're on that road, just take a little glance down the road and you just tell yourself what it is that you're running towards. You're running straight towards hell. That's what's before you. That's your end destination. And yet all you can think about maybe is how can I be satisfied tomorrow? What's going to bring me satisfaction next week? You hear about all the, maybe for the young kids, the trends and the things that you see other, maybe younger kids and teenagers, and you see them, they get it, and you can't wait to get it because you feel like it's going to satisfy. I'm going to give you another little illustration, and I won't say which of our kids it is, but we had this displayed perfectly yesterday. Everybody probably knows, well, with kids anyway, in the mall. Got to take a breath here to say this, but that store Showcase, it has all the latest, I think it has kind of as seen on TV, a lot of those. And I was sitting outside the store, I didn't even want to go in. They went in and we're looking around, and you can see kids coming down the hallway and into the store they went because they wanted the latest and greatest, whatever these, well, one of them is squishies, okay? A complete waste of money, and I kind of drew a line in the sand yesterday. I said, this is the last time anybody's buying a squishy. We're done buying them. So in a matter of, I would guess it was about 5 minutes, this squishy that was just the best color and it was the best one that they had ever gotten. I don't know, I'd maybe give it 2 minutes down the road. And this squishy developed a pinhole in the top of it. Began to leak. And so it went from the best thing in the world, couldn't believe they got it, to now the thing was leaking. It was destroyed. That's just a little example of you'll go after things and you think it's going to satisfy and it never will. Just one thing after another, after another, after another. And that's the road you're running on. And the end goal of the devil is to see you continue running. Just keep going down the road faster and faster and faster until one day you wake up and now it's not a lack of satisfaction. You can't see where you're going. Most people, they don't even realize. They don't want to listen maybe. Not a lack of satisfaction. It's not a lack of sight. You know where the devil wants to get you? He wants to get you to a place where there's a complete lack of salvation. There's no hope. That's where you're running towards. He wants you to end up in hell tonight so that there's absolutely no hope, no salvation, no gospel, no word of God, no preachers. That's what he wants. So be careful. The warning is given in Proverbs chapter 1. Be careful of what you're running after. We read in Jonah about this man, and what I want to leave with you from it is this. God spoke to him. And what did he do? He immediately got up and he began to run. That's a warning for you. When God speaks, don't run. When God speaks, don't ignore him. But Jonah decided that it was in his best interest, because he didn't want to face what God had put before him, and that was to bring a message to some people that he didn't want to bring to them. He decided that it was going to be better off for him to run. You say, well, I'm not running, I'm here tonight. You know, running from God can take a lot of different forms. It can take the form of Luke chapter 15, we didn't read about it, but the prodigal son, and he physically left, went out into a far country, and just wasted everything that his father had given him. And you might know about some people who used to come to the gospel meetings, and now you don't see them here, and you set yourself up on a bit of a higher level than them, because I'm here, and they're way out there. They never, ever come to gospel meeting anymore, and I'm so much better than they are. Well, it's too bad they're not here, and it's great that you're here. That's one way of running. Where's your mind at right now? In the last 30 seconds, what were you thinking about? Were you thinking about salvation? Were you thinking about having your sins forgiven? Wanting to be in heaven? I just wish that God would speak to me. Is that where your mind was? Or were you thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow and how the rest of the summer is going to go and there's not much time left and I wanted to do this and that and we have at home there's a little bucket list going of things that we're trying to do with the kids. Maybe that's where your mind is on your own bucket list. What you want to accomplish this summer? Meanwhile, God is speaking. His word is open and we read from it. That's God's word. That is God speaking to you. You might not be physically running, but in your mind you have run far away. That's a dangerous thing to do. God spoke, don't run. God sent a storm into Jonah's life. And what did Jonah do? He fell asleep. Here's the second warning. Whenever God sends something into your life that kind of gives you a little start that wakes you up, don't go back to sleep. Because there is the chance. Luke chapter 16 tells us about a man who I have no doubt God did send someone into his life that probably spoke to him different times. He probably heard the gospel in different words maybe than you're hearing tonight, but would have heard a message from God for him, from Lazarus that sat there at his gate. He would have come and gone, and he would have listened to him probably or heard things passing by. God had sent somebody right there. Call it a little storm. We heard, it wasn't last week, we weren't here, but the week before maybe, but the jailer, and God sent an earthquake. God sends different things into your life. They take different forms. It could be a death. It could be just a message from here. It could be a lot of different things. Whenever God sends something into your life, do not fall asleep. Wake up. Whenever God provides salvation, like he did in Jonah's case, and Jonah, he didn't have much of a choice here. The whale came along and swallowed him. He had already repented. He had changed his mind. But whenever God sends salvation your way, don't avoid it. Don't push it away for something crazy, for something that's not going to satisfy, for sin. These are the warnings from Jonah. Don't run from God. That's a crazy thing to even think about doing. God the sovereign, God who has control, God who is full sight. He knows all about you. The thing is, God doesn't actually have to go looking for you. He knows where you are. So don't bother trying to hide. That's completely foolish. Whenever God speaks, don't run. We read in Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus and why he ran. He's another man that took off. I don't know how much dust he kicked up, but I'd say he was running a fair clip because he understood, first of all, that this man, Jesus, was coming down through, and Zacchaeus, I believe, that in his life, he had done whatever type of things you want to call them. He had done crooked things. He had taken money from people that he shouldn't have. And I believe that Zacchaeus just finally got to a point where he was just tired. He had got to the point where maybe you haven't gotten to, but he just became tired of sin. And he saw that this was now an opportunity. And so he ran. And he doesn't run and kind of wait alongside of the road because he understood something about himself that maybe you haven't understood. He realized that he was short. He realized that if he didn't climb up the tree, that his opportunity would probably leave him. Have you ever understood that tonight, that in God's eyes, maybe as a Christian's child especially, maybe you believe that there's still, and you hear this all the time, but there's still some kind of merit that I can offer. I know the Bible verses. I can pray. I can read. I'm a pretty decent person. Well, Zacchaeus realized that he was short, that he had fallen short. Tonight, have you realized that you have actually fallen short of God's standard? And it doesn't matter. Maybe in your mind you believe that if I live long enough, I'm going to attain a certain level. That is never, ever going to happen. You've fallen short now, and you will have fallen short for the rest of your life. You will never, ever reach heaven apart from the way that God has laid out in His Word, and that is through the Lord Jesus, through His death of the cross, nothing else. And so Zacchaeus, he understood these things. And so he ran with an intensity, climbed. And what was the result? Salvation came to his house. Zacchaeus went away satisfied. The last one that we read about the father and the prodigal son, it was just nice kind of thinking about the meeting and thinking about the reception. But this father, he was standing there, watching every single day probably for the son to come home. And it just watching his reaction, it's giving us some insight into what was going through his mind. What's going through the mind of God tonight? He was waiting. And unlike maybe us as parents sometimes, you kind of lie in wait, waiting for your kids to maybe, you're listening, and if they say the wrong thing or if they do the wrong thing, that's not what he was doing. He was waiting because he could not wait to start running towards him. He could not wait to go out and give him a hug. He couldn't wait to go and show him kindness. He couldn't wait to express his love for him. And then you look at what the son did. And he took all that the father gave him. Doesn't say anything about saying thanks. He probably didn't. Seems like he was just wanting to get whatever he could and go off and spend it and get as much satisfaction out of sin as he could. And it left him high and dry. And after all that he had done, it says that the father, he saw him and he ran. And he didn't throw it back in his face. I'm not sure what tonight your thoughts are of God and what He'll do if you do come. If you come to Him for salvation, maybe you think that God is going to throw something back in your face. It just boils down this simple. All that God wants to do is to save you. He actually doesn't want to do anything else. He wants to just save you. He wants to, can we put it like this? He wants to run to you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to give you salvation. He wants you with Him in heaven. The other remarkable thing is that the father, he seemed like he was prepared. Hey, before the son, even before he even saw him, seems like the father was prepared. He had everything. And I don't know how much time passed from when the son came home to whenever the elder son saw what was going on in the house. I'd like to think it was all within a day. I mean, to throw something like that together that quick, it almost seemed impossible. He didn't tell the servant to go off and this, here's a ring, can you go size it at the jewelry store? Can you go and get a seamstress to make a robe for him and make sure it fits? I don't have any his size, but take this one and get it altered so it fits him. I don't have any shoes, but these ones are a little bit big. We'll try those on him, or go off and buy him shoes in his size. No, he had everything right there for him, everything that he needed. Tonight, God is prepared, and you know what God is doing right now? He's not ignoring you, and his back turned, and he turns, and all of a sudden, this person maybe in the gospel meeting tonight, they're coming and scrambling things together and trying to figure it all out. God is actually tonight looking right at you. God is waiting. God is waiting for you to come. And as I said a moment ago, God can't wait. Just to use the words from this chapter, God can't wait to run and embrace you. Everything that the Son needed, the Father had. Just to quickly go over them again, we'll mention them one more time. Running after sin from Proverbs chapter 1. Be careful. Jonah, we read about running from God. Again, be careful. We read about Zacchaeus running to the Savior. The only true place of satisfaction that you will ever find is with Him. And then lastly, we read about what God's reaction is to a sinner coming. Maybe you're scared about being pushed away. Maybe you're scared about not, I don't know what it is, but just you have fears. Take it from the story. God can't wait to see you coming, and He will embrace you. He will save you. And just a couple of times further on, or earlier on in the chapter, it tells us exactly what the reaction is. It isn't, they came, so I guess I have to receive them. Do you know what the reaction is? It says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we just give thanks for what we find in Thy Word, the messages that are left behind for us, and the stories, and just it really explains out and displays the heart of God and what it is towards the sinner. And so we just pray for blessing tonight. We would just ask for safety on the way home, and just those that are not saved, that they'd understand that really they're not moving slowly down the road to destruction. They're moving quickly. And so we just pray for intervention and for salvation. We just commit the meeting to Thee now in His name. Amen.